I remember when I was a teenager at school, I'd been brought up to regard the Church of England with great suspicion. I was brought up in a gospel hall, and we didn't believe the Church of England was biblical. And we certainly didn't believe the Catholics were biblical. And so this was, maybe some of you have come from that background as well. And I remember that we started, I think I was involved in starting it, I certainly was, a sort of meeting at school, the secondary school, that was really about the Christian faith, met fairly frequently. And we invited the local vicar to come. And I remember chatting to him, because I'd sort of chaired the meeting afterwards, and I said to him, I was reading the 39 articles. You know what they are? They're the back of the prayer book, a great lot of theology and so on at the back of the old prayer book. I was reading the 39 articles the other day, and I thought they're quite good, really. And I could see he almost choked, not wanting to laugh, really, that I'd been... I didn't mean to be arrogant, but it came over in that way. And I actually began to realise the Church of England wasn't so bad after all. And I want to tell you, first of all, what the Church of England's position is on Scripture, because it's very interesting. And I'm going to quote a little bit from the 39 articles. Don't worry, I'm not going to go on at length. And also from what are called the canons, that's the law on which the Church of England is based. So these are not the opinions, even the opinions of archbishops and so on. These are what the Church of England is bound to uphold. I wish sometimes it would do it better, yes, but this is what it's meant to do. So listen to this, for example. Some of it is old-fashioned language, some of it's not quite so much. Holy Scripture containeth all things necessary to salvation, so that whatsoever is not read therein, nor may be proved thereby, is not to be required of any man, that it should be believed as an article of the faith, or be thought requisite or necessary to salvation. So the Church is not to contradict Scripture. It mustn't. It's bound not to. Then another one. It is not lawful for the Church to ordain anything that's contrary to God's word written. Neither may it so expound one place of Scripture that it be repugnant to another. You know, sort of interpreting one part and making the two contradict, and that's not helpful. And then it talks about the 39 articles. The 39 articles are agreeable to the Word of God. The doctrine contained in the Book of Common Prayer, that's the old prayer book, may be assented to in all good conscience by all the members of the Church of England. The doctrine contained in the Book of Common Prayer is agreeable to the Word of God. The form of God's worship in that book is not repugnant to the Word of God. You're getting the message? The Church of England is bound to be biblical. Now, you may argue that, you know, some aspects of it are not, and sometimes there is a difference of opinion on interpreting Scripture, yes, but it doesn't alter the fact the Church of England is bound to obey Scripture. I'm afraid sometimes individual Anglicans don't. Sometimes individual clergy and even bishops don't. And that's wrong. They're not supposed to do that. And then just one final one, and this is one of the canons, the canon law. The doctrine of the Church of England is grounded in the Holy Scriptures and in such teachings of the ancient fathers and councils of the Church as are agreeable to the said Scriptures. Have you got the message? The Church of England is meant to be in submission to the Bible. And I read that many, many years ago, and it was reassuring and surprising, because I'd always been rather suspicious of the Church of England. So why are the beliefs and practices of the C of E governed by the authority of Scripture? Well, we had that reading, which is actually on your Pews News, we had that reading from 2 Timothy, which really gives us the answer. It says all Scripture is God-breathed. And that's a literal translation of the Greek. In fact, funny enough, I can remember the Greek, but I won't show off. But it's a literal translation of the original Greek. All Scripture is God-breathed. The Bible is not just a lot of good ideas. It's not just a lot of human thinking. But God overruled it. And God sometimes intervenes miraculously in human life. Of course he does. And we can experience healing, for example. But a lot of the time, he fulfills his purposes by overruling human activity or natural processes of the world. He doesn't do all by miracle. He does a lot of it through human activity, human thinking, or through natural events. But God works out his purpose. So God didn't dictate scripture. You know, people like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't sort of hear a voice. I mean, sometimes that could happen with the prophets, I'm sure. But normally, they didn't hear a voice and someone dictating, and they quickly wrote down the words. It wasn't like that. As they thought, as they prayed, thoughts came to them, and they wanted to express them on paper for good reason, so that, for example, we can have their writings today. But in that process, God so guided them that what they wrote was the word of God. So he overruled their natural processes. So you'll find that they've got different approaches because they're different personalities. And maybe there are cultural differences as well. God doesn't blot those out, but he overruled what they wrote. The end result is his word. It is God-breathed. It is just as if God said it himself without human intervention. That is what scripture is. That's why the Bible is so important. It's not just an optional extra for those who like to read. It's something absolutely fundamental. It's the basis of the Church of England's belief, and I'm sticking it to the Church of England because we are in the Church of England, but it's true, of course, for any church. It should be. So scripture is God-breathed, and God overruled the thinking and writing of human beings so that what we have now is what he wants to say to us. And so Peter, in 2 Peter 1, 20 to 21, he says this: above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So in scripture, we have a wonderful gift from God. Jesus is also called the Word of God. He is the personal Word of God. He's the one who shows us more about God, obviously, than anything else. But how would we know about Jesus if we didn't have the written Word of God and the Gospels and the Epistles? We wouldn't. And so the written Word of God is so important at showing us the living Word of God, the personal Word of God, Jesus, the manifestation of what God is like. And so scripture is very important. And so our personal lives should be governed by the Bible. Can you put your hand on your heart and say that's the case? My life is governed by scripture. We all fail at times, don't we? But we ought to be seeking to live our lives according to the teaching of scripture, which means we need to read scripture. And we need to do it regularly. I believe daily. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't start off somewhere in Ezekiel where it's really very complicated. But we need to be reading the Bible regularly. And God will speak to us through it. I've said before to you, and some of you have had this experience, sometimes you read a verse and you may have read it many times before, and it's like it leaps off the page at you. It's like the ink is still wet, and it, you know, God has just written it for you that morning. That can happen. Happens frequently to me. In fact, I was looking at one verse this morning. Of course, at my advanced stage, I can't remember what it was, but I remember it was a verse that stood out to me, even in my morning readings this morning, and it was really helpful. And so God has sent us, if you like, a letter, and he wants us to read it. If I sent you a letter, I hope you would read it. I'd be slightly offended if you didn't bother with it and you filed it away or threw it away. And God has gone to the trouble of inspiring the Bible so that we can live by it. Listen to what the rest of that verse says. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, the church fails sometimes in this country and elsewhere as well. And one of the main reasons why it fails is because it doesn't take the teaching of Scripture seriously. Take forgiveness, for example. The Bible says if we don't forgive, we're not forgiven. So those who've offended us, those who've hurt us, those who've maltreated us, they need to put things right. Of course they do. I'm not saying they shouldn't. But we need to have forgiveness in our hearts because the Bible says so. And hopefully they will put things right. And similarly, of course, if we've done anything wrong, we need to put things right. Why? Because the Bible says so. And what do we find? We find up and down this country churches where there are people at loggerheads with one another. I don't mean just having differences of opinion, that's legitimate, but actually not forgiving one another, resenting one another, and so on. And of course that undermines the church, and we are ignoring the teaching of Scripture. So we need to let Scripture rule. Patricia said earlier in the service that we ought to give thanks in all circumstances. Every day, every morning, I give thanks to God. And if there's something that's bothering me, if there's something that's upset me, if there's something that's difficult, then I say in the context of that difficulty, that upset, that whatever, I want to give thanks. I don't give thanks necessarily for the difficulty because, you know, that may be inappropriate, but I give thanks in the difficulty. So things have all gone wrong today and I feel very depressed, but Lord, I'm going to thank you anyway. I don't thank God for the depression. I don't thank God for the things that have gone wrong. But I thank God in the midst of it. So they're just two examples of how we need to live according to the Bible. And the church is weakened, the Christian church is weakened when we don't live according to the Bible. And so what does Paul say here? It's for four purposes: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Teaching, getting to know God better. If you want to know God better, you need to spend time with him. And that should include reading his word. And the more you get to know God, the more you're going to want to get to know God, and the deeper your Christian life will be. Secondly, it's rebuking. You know, you read through Scripture and bang, oh dear, I haven't forgiven so-and-so. I'm jolly well going to have to do it. And I'm wrong for not having done it already. And so we're rebuking. It makes us regret what we've done and confess what we've done. And Scripture can have that effect. And then correcting us, telling us how to put things right. If you've got a problem with someone, you go and speak with them. And you try and put it right, and so on. And so, the Bible teaches us how to live. We need to be radically biblical in the power of the Spirit. That's a phrase I've often used over the years. Radically biblical, not just obeying the bits of the Bible we like, but radically, fundamentally biblical in the power of the Spirit. And then finally, training in righteousness, showing us the right way to live. And so we should all be reading the Bible regularly. I hope you are doing. I encourage you to do it. And we will get hold of, I've said this before, we'll get hold of some of the modern notes and helps that can help you with reading the Bible and getting to know it. Because God has gone to the trouble of breathing out his word through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John and Paul and all the rest. So that what they have written is the word of God, the authoritative word of God. And it's not just the Church of England that should be in submission to it, as it states in its own basis of faith, but it's we as individuals who should be in submission to it as well. So let's make sure that we are as biblical as we can be, asking the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. Father, we do thank you for Scripture. We thank you that we would know so little about your will, so little about Jesus, if anything, if we didn't have the Bible. And we thank you for it. We thank you that you've gone to the trouble. And because you've gone to the trouble of producing this book for us, Lord, help us to take it seriously and to read it and to mark it and to learn it and to obey it by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.